United States versus Doty. Mr. Ackerman.
Morning, sir.
Coffee, Judge Williams. How are you?
Fine.
Well, I saw you on the History Channel 2 weeks ago.
Was I any good?
I didn't answer. I just said I saw you. Cheery, we're always good.
Well, you look quite dapper this
Whether
morning.
Whether you're here or wherever you are.
Well, thank you. we're getting along well. No, I'd like to talk about Anthony.
About yourself?
No, we'd like to talk about Anthony for just a moment, please.
Okay.
And the only question before the court is, did Judge Moran have the power? And I think that's the only way I can reasonably put it. Did he have the power to cut Tony some slack? And that's what this case is about. Judge wanted to give him less than 51 months. Judge Moran felt he didn't have the power or authority to do it. Now, Judge Williams, Judge Plum sat on the district court for many years. Judge Coffey has presided over disputes about the federal sentencing guidelines since 1987. So I can't tell the court anything about the guidelines. The court can tell me. Now, the real question is, here's a judge looking at a defendant, and at a point in time, the district court rejected a motion for indictment dismissal based on pre-indictment delay, and in the memorandum decision, the district court says, in essence, look, you don't have a good motion to dismiss here, but when it comes to sentencing, that's where it should come in as a downward departure. And he cited U.S. versus Martinez with a hazard of recollection. It's in our appendix. And so, Mr. Doty, believing the district court, as he had every right to do, pled guilty. And now on the day of sentencing, and not before, Judge Moran tells us, and make no mistake, he's a wonderful man, but he tells us, look, folks, I can't do it. Can't do what? You said in the motion to dismiss that this was the appropriate method of considering the four-year indictment dismissal delay, during which time Doty was in custody the entire time. And that's really the question now before your honors. Was he right or was he wrong? He wanted to do it. Claimed he didn't have the power to do it. Invited us to proceed as we have. And there is something else that's a little troubling here. I don't know if this inures to Tony's benefit or not. But reality is, he was an inveterate bookmaker. Now, this is what his chosen profession was. And he did it up through September 1996, when he stood before Judge Manning and was being sentenced for his earlier bookmaking activities, which spanned some 14 years. So that was his profession. And, as a matter of fact, he was good at it.
Do you call that a profession?
Oh, absolutely. It's an honorable profession. Grantland Rice. Don't forget. Anyway, the government said nothing to Judge Manning about his bookmaking activities from July of 94 to September of 96. And I question this court. Why not? Did they have a responsibility under the plea agreement, which is part of our appendix here, in connection with the 94 indictment, 94 CR 723? Did they have a responsibility to tell the district court, hey, look, Judge, we have 2 years, 24 months worth of information that Mr. Doty's continued his bookmaking activities, therefore the plea agreement is void, or you better up the ante, or something. But they remained silent. And they did nothing more, until the year 2000, when they indicted him as he was about to be released serving the earlier sentence. So, 51 months plus 51 months, is that really what's appropriate in this case? Judge Moran's thought not. We hope you think not. And that's what I'll say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman. Mr. Bindi.
Oh, these are not mine.
Take them. You might be able to use them next week.
Good morning, Your Honors. As much as I respect Mr. Ackerman, I think he asks the wrong questions. The question here is not whether Judge Moran had discretion to depart in this case. The answer to that question is well known. The answer is yes, he did, under Section 3584A of Title 18. But he was not told about that statute and that discretion, which makes the question, what is to be done about that now? And the answer to that question, Your Honors, is in United States versus Schaefer, which we submit controls this case. As in Schaefer, Judge Moran felt that he did not have discretion to depart downward and consider the fact that Guideline Section 5G1.3A required consecutive sentences here, which he thought were too long. He didn't think he had the discretion to depart, just as the judge in Schaefer didn't think he had the discretion to depart. But what Schaefer holds is that the judge may still depart despite the mandatory language of the guideline requiring consecutive sentences, may still depart, but only if there is grounds for a departure apart from the length of the combined length of consecutive sentences. The fact that the judge in Schaefer, like Judge Moran here, thought that the combined sentences were too long is not a valid basis for departure. And there is no other valid basis for departure in the record in this case, and Mr. Doty has never argued that there is. As in Schaefer, therefore, Mr. Doty has failed to show plain error, has failed to show that he was prejudiced by Judge Moran's error in thinking that he didn't have discretion to depart. And for that reason, as was the case in Schaefer, this court should affirm.
Let me just ask this question, though, that Mr. Ackerman raised. Why was there such a delay, and why didn't Judge Manning know that this was coming?
I don't know why there was a delay in or why the second indictment came down when it did rather than earlier. It's not in the record, and
it's just kind of curious when he's ready to walk out the door, the second indictment hits, what, 4 years later?
Yeah, that's correct. And I don't know the reason why it came down, the indictment was returned when it was. I would point out, however, Mr. Ackerman, the other question that Mr. Ackerman asks, which I think is the wrong question here, concerns why didn't the government talk or inform Judge Manning about the conduct that it was investigating that resulted in the second indictment. The answer there is, I think, and this is obvious from the record, it wasn't relevant. It wasn't relevant conduct pertaining to the earlier gambling episode. The charge that Judge Moran presided over concerned bookmaking that was occurring at a different period of time involving different co-conspirators. There's no overlap in there. So it was an entirely separate thing. It was not part of the same course of conduct, and that's why it wouldn't have been relevant.
But it had occurred, though. I mean, in time.
It was occurring.
Occurring.
Yes. It was ongoing. This continued for a couple of years, I think, after he was sentenced by Judge Manning.
And certainly we presided over a lot of relevant conduct cases where that type of behavior would be included in relevant conduct. I understand, you know, your position, and when you look at the time frame, it's a different time frame. I know there are different co-conspirators, but there is so much that is relevant conduct that's normally included in the PSI. It's just kind of odd that this wouldn't be included.
Well, but Your Honor, relevant conduct is defined as part of the same course of conduct. And if you are engaged in, you know, bookmaking activity with one group of people, one group of people from 1992 to 1994, and then that group disintegrates and you start up all over again with a whole other group of people, that's not the same course of conduct. Moreover, I think, you know, the government was under no obligation to disclose whatever it might have known about Mr. Doty's conduct at the time Judge Manning sentenced him, the matter was being investigated, and you know, it would have been inappropriate to disclose it. The other point that we could make here is that Mr. Doty certainly had it within his power, because he knew what his conduct was at the time that he was being sentenced by Judge Manning. And so for these reasons, Your Honor, we would respectfully request that the judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. Bindy, Mr. Ackerman.
If I ask the wrong question,
the court has the wherewithal to correct the question. If I didn't raise it correctly below, but the government seems to maintain that Mr. Doty has a viable argument, then the court can look at it by way of plain error right now, or recognize that Mr. Doty will submit something to the district court by and by asserting ineffective assistance of trial in district court and appellate counsel for failing to raise what the government now claims should have been raised and apparently was viable. So the shortcut to that is to remand with directions to give Judge Moran the discretion he feels that he wants to exercise. And if he elects not to do it, that's fine too. But the question is the real question. Was he hamstrung or foreclosed from doing it? The government now claims he wasn't, but I didn't raise the right argument. Well, shame on me, but why should Mr. Doty suffer for that? So either get to it now, or you'll see it 8 months or 10 months from now where they'll be saying something else. They can't have it both ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ackerman. Thank you, Mr. Bindy. Case is taken under advisement. The court will